Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. And it is, well, to say it's a pleasure wouldn't cover the half of it, because the biggest news in New York this week is indeed the Broadway show, playing at the Barrymore Theater. And there are 10 Tony nominations, including Best Musical, have been announced this week. And are we ever happy, indeed, friends, to announce that the man who conceived Paradise Square is Larry Kerwin, who we've known for decades. Larry, you're very welcome.
It's always nice to be on, Adrian. Thank you.
This is such a big and thrilling news item, and indeed for an Irish community that doesn't get a chance to often to land a very successful program on Broadway in New York. This is, well, first of all, congratulations, tremendous news. And tell us a little bit, though, you probably have been much better known as the leader of the group Black 47, which, you know, ran for 25 years. I would imagine that after, you know, 2,500 gigs from, you know, from pubs to stadiums, was that decision, I know Chris Byrne and yourself were indeed very prominent, as was Black 47 itself. But when was the decision made to wind it down?
With Black 47, well, we finished up, we disbanded in November 2014. And I think it was from September 2013. We were actually playing a festival up in South Buffalo. And it was going so well on stage, I had this flash that maybe now is the time to finish up, because you know you're at a peak and everyone loves the band, and we'd come through many different things. We were infamous in some ways, and but everything was going so well. And on the journey back home the next day, I was surprised because the thought was still in my mind, that I let it sit for a couple of weeks, and then I got in touch with the guys in the band, and I came up with a plan that what we would do is we would tour until we did the 25 years exactly, and we'd do a new album and go out with a bang rather than with a whimper, you know, like taking your time to do it. That we'd go back and play everywhere we'd played around the country, and then finish up in Times Square on November 14th, I think it was 2014. So it was a plan, you know, that we worked on. We figured it would give each of us time to decide what we wanted to do. It would be almost 15 months. And that's what we did.
Larry, what some of our listeners may not know is that indeed, practically since the day you arrived some 50 years ago, in New York, that you had many irons in the fire, including, you know, writing, storytelling, you know, producing plays, and I'm sure a few other activities, that,
we won't mention.
No, we won't. No, we won't. Or we won't mention mine either. But anyway, it was, where did all of this compulsion, as it were, to not only write, but to take Irish history and politics, you know, and concentrate on areas like that. Was that something you picked up in your native Wexford?
Yeah, I was raised by an old grandfather, which wasn't unusual in those days when, in Wexford anyway, when, you know, a grandparent died, that the eldest son would go and live with the grandparent to look after them, kind of, and to be raised by him. So I went to live with a man called Thomas Hughes, and he had left school when he was 13 in Carlow and had come to Wexford and started a headstone business. But he had this desire to learn all his life, so he had done well in the headstone business, had a big library of books. But not only that, he was interested in politics and history in a big way, and he passed all that down to me, because it was basically just the two of us in this big rambling old house in downtown Wexford. And, you know, I always had that interest. And then, of course, got active in civil rights when I came over here, and just always tried to bring politics and history into not just the music, but into playwriting, which I had done before Chris and I formed Black 47. So, you know, it was always there. I mean, I write other things too, but the history and politics has always been a part of what I've written about.
Now, fast forwarding to what is indeed for some, for all of us, great news, but for some, kind of shocking news, because when you you know, when you speak of the Tony Awards, the Tony nominations, that's probably, you know, the most competitive in the area of arts and plays, and of course this being your musical at the end of the day. That is something that many would perceive as being, you know, as for other groups, for something. Now, we've seen Paradise Square last week at your invitation, and it's hard to describe it, you know, other than to, you know, to say it's a musical, it is dance, it is the new river dance, and again, that's, you know, something that we have felt, and the reviews kind of, you know, support that. What's your own views, or your own view on that?
Well, I've been working on this since 2011, I had gathered a lot of knowledge about, and for your listeners, it's set in an area called the Five Points in Lower Manhattan during the Civil War. And one of the things that Thomas Hughes, my grandfather, had talked to me a lot about was the Five Points. So when I came to live in New York, I didn't go to the Bronx or to Queens or Brooklyn. I went down to the Lower East Side. It was very cheap to live there at the time. And it turned out that the Lower East Side was only blocks away from the Five Points. So I got a chance to go there and then study it and then find the old books in the Strand bookstore and places like that and find out what happened there. And to my amazement, there was this part of Irish history that happened there that nobody really much talked about. At that point, anyway, this was in the late 70s. And it was that when the famine Irish came here, roughly beginning in 1845, they intermarried a lot with African Americans because both groups were on the bottom end of the social ladder. But it all ended in 1863 during the Civil War when President Lincoln called a draft. And if you paid him or paid the federal government $300, you didn't have to serve in the army, in the Union Army. And that caused great discomfiture to, especially to the immigrant groups who had no money whatsoever at the time. $300 was a year's wages. So there were protests, and then those protests got out of hand, and 11 African Americans were hung, and 119 people in general died during the protests. So to me, that seemed like a great theme for a play or a musical, because not only did they intermarry the Irish and African Americans, they created a new form of pop culture, including dancing, by their competitions, the Irish and African Americans. They came up with tap dancing. And then by the different bands that they played in together, they came up with the formula for vaudeville. So these Irish and African Americans really developed the first genuine form of American culture. So that really opened it up to the whole idea of turning it into a musical. And I did that in 2012 and 2013 in a small theater on 23rd Street called The Cell. And then a gentleman called Peter LeDon saw it there and put me in touch with his associate in Toronto, Gart Drabinski, who had produced many, many big shows, including Ragtime and Showboat. And he asked me if we could develop it into something like what it is now, which is Paradise Square, which is a much bigger thing, a really big American musical. And he brought in a crack crowd of creatives, including Bill T. Jones, the great black choreographer, and Moises Kaufman, the director. So there's so many people involved in this big musical that it is big and it is dense, as you're saying, and it's telling the story of the Irish and the African Americans in the Five Points and how eventually this great union between them broke apart, and how over the years Irish and African Americans have separated. And it's my hope that with this musical that we can bring back those two peoples together, because we share so much in our likes and dislikes and in the common culture that we had way back then.
On the draft, which and the draft riots, it was indeed again. I know you've made reference to it, but was that an intentional, premise that the less fortunate and those who were on Stubbs' list, including immigrants, including those from Ireland, that they wouldn't have anywhere to go, so at least we're assured that the goal of having the draft, the army, that would be pretty much, we could be assured, and that, God forbid, we would upset the upper class, or for that matter, even the middle class. And so that would be it. Was that kind of brushed off, or was that acceptable at the time?
Well, what happened was there were 4 days of the draft, 4 days of rioting, and the immigrants in general, particularly Irish and German, but also Nordic and Jewish and whatever that was downtown and in the surrounding boroughs close to Manhattan, they all came into Manhattan and they marched uptown to where the draft was being called. And it got out of hand up there, and the draft building was burned down. And then for the next 3 days, chaos broke out. Many gangs took to the streets, and many people in general took to the streets. And it was kind of a settling of scores in ways. And eventually, the Battle of Gettysburg had just been fought and won, that the troops were called from Gettysburg to come to New York because the army had moved out of New York to go to Gettysburg and fight. So there was no one to put the rioters down. It was one of those things. And within 4 days, the riots were over. But it caused a lot of change in the city. And as regards, you know, immigrants were looked on as the lowest of the low at that point. So it was seen as an attack on the system by immigrants in general.
One, too, while you're speaking of this here, there has been a recent development, indeed, not only sponsored or primarily sponsored by the Irish consulate here, along with, of course, with the Glucksman Ireland House at New York University, an active organization, and it's called Black, Brown, and Green Voices. Again, bringing, you know, in the midst of the mishmash of, you know, conflict in America and racial tensions and whatever. But this is something that indeed was not all that welcome and say, Jesus, will you leave it alone kind of thing. Have you found as a reaction, you know, by some people saying, we don't, you know, do we really want to take that disgusting period, you know, of, say, the 5 points, which was tongue-in-cheek known as the world's greatest slum area. Is this something that is coming into its own, and is this pretty much what one of the attractions that brings your story to Broadway and to a much broader, wider audience?
Well, you know, there are movements, and the Irish government is particularly interested in fostering the feeling that African Americans with Irish DNA and Irish blood, or however you like to put it, should be welcomed back to Ireland too, you know, that it was a big mishmash when immigrants came here and intermarried with whomever was out there. And, you know, there's another organization called African American Irish Diaspora Network, mm-hmm. run by Dennis Brownlee. And they claim that African Americans, that 38% of African Americans have some form of Irish DNA and blood in them. And, you know, that it's time we all came together. And to me, as a musician who was, you know, Black 47 played a lot of African-style music. We played funk and reggae and ska and all those things. To me, it's like a coming home. You know, I could never understand when I got here because I grew up on African-American music in Ireland, and I couldn't understand why Irish people and African-Americans were so separate, because we loved the music so much in Ireland. And then I was thinking back and back on it, thinking, what happened? Why did this happen? Because I knew that back in the Five Points days, Irish and African-Americans intermarried and whatever. And then it struck me that the two sides pulled apart on July 13, 1863, during the draft riots. And neither wished to deal with it, because these riots were traumatic for both sides. And no one really wished to revisit it. But there have been mentions of it. I mean, you take Peter Quinn's book, Banished Children of Eve.
Yes.
That dealt with certain aspects of it. And so there has been interest in it. There was another book called by Kevin Baker called Paradise Alley, dealt with the same subject. So it's been coming for quite a while. And the reaction from Irish people that I'm getting at the theater is they're just thrilled to learn of this piece of history that they never knew about. They're fascinated by it, and so many African-Americans who come to the show are saying the same thing. My great-grandfather was Irish, you know, mm-hmm. I love this show because it's bringing me closer to my ancestors, my Irish ancestry, and It's working on both sides.
The music, the dancing, friends, is incredible. And, the musician, the leader, the writer, the playwright is our guest, Larry Kerwin. And at what point did our mutual friend and probably the best known recent Irish politician, Congressman Joe Crowley, who served as a congressman for a couple of decades, bringing that, and he is, the top line producer of the program, a pretty bold move. Did you see this as something that was going to become a Broadway show, and when did that kick in?
Yeah, well, let me just say one thing first, although, you know, I'm the conceiver of it, and I've helped with all the writing. There are a number of other writers, including Craig Lucas.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Ms. Anderson, and there's a lot of just great creative talents. It would take me 5 minutes to go through them all involved. It's not just my show at this point. But to get to your other question, I just gave Joe's an old friend of mine, and I just gave him a call or a text, I can't remember which, at one point, maybe 3 years ago, and said, you know, this is what I'm doing right now, and now that you're out of Congress, you should come and see it. Yeah, there might be some way you can get involved in this. And sure enough, Joe showed up and became really helpful to the show, so much so that he is now one of the top producers in it. So it was just a random call, just that feeling. Mm. You know, Joe has a real interest in music and in Broadway. So I just had a feeling that it would be something, and sure enough, for once that was right. And it's great to have him there because he's another Irish person for one thing, because it's been a hard struggle down all the creative period of keeping the two sides balanced, African American and Irish, and having Joe there is great as a perspective, as an Irish American born person,
mm-hmm.
as well as me being Irish born.
You know, in terms of popularity and ticket sales, when you wind up with one, two, even a couple of Tony nominations, it draws the attention of regular and consistent theater goers. But this takes, Paradise Square to a new level, and one, as I say, it has to be, the commitment, the stage, the settings, all of the people who are involved, running into a couple of hundred people. That's a big nut to crack, and, congratulations for sticking with it, and again, the 10 nominations, 10 Tony nominations is you're well on your way. And as a friend of ours for decades, we are delighted to indeed give you our congratulations and encourage anybody who'd like to know more, or those who want to see something, that a musical which is going to really, really indeed enter the annals of history. Paradise Square, the musical. To get more information or to get onto it, ParadiseSquareMusical.com. And Larry, again, you won't have much time off now for a while, but thank you for taking the time. You know, as again,
it's always a pleasure. For old time's sake, we go back a long way now.
Absolutely. Oh my God, we've stopped counting the decades. So, my friend.
The last thing I'd say about the play is come and see this cast, because I've never seen anything like this cast. They're just so unified.
Oh,
and after 5 minutes, when you're watching, you're back in the Five Points in 1863. They take you on this incredible journey. And some of the singing, I can't get over it. Jacquina Calacongo, who's the main actress in it, the main star, I suppose. Her family are immigrants too. They were political refugees from Angola, and she was raised in Atlanta. So it's a modern immigrant story too, in that sense.
Larry Kerwin. Again, I don't know how many times there must be several other ways to express the pride that we have, and of course the Irish American community should be recognized at this stage. Even though I tell you, it was like when we went to see it there, it was like a meeting of the United Nations. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Adrian.
Okay.
And you, Anya.
Thank you. Friends, Paradise Square, the musical, ParadiseSquareMusical.com, Broadway's top musical, on Broadway in the Barrymore Theatre. Check it out. And friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.